Well, that is, of course, Annie DeFranco. We're going to hear an interview that our own Shelley Delaney got to do with Annie DeFranco in just a few minutes here. Juno Afternoon made possible with support from Hanson Gress, delivering IT support to local businesses for over 15 years. And coming up next with us is COPA, and Mark Wheeler's here from COPA. Mark, thanks for coming in.
Hello.
Also with us is Claire Scott, an artist that is going to be featured in a really cool project that you're kind of cooperatively doing, right? This is a cool thing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
What's going on? Let's kind of set the stage, Mark, with you about what this project is overall, and then we'll talk to Claire about your contributions and your vision about how you kind of made that happen. So,
yeah, well, first thing, for First Friday, we're having a kids' art show at COPA.
Okay, cool.
Open today. So we just solicited submissions from the community, and a bunch of kids sent us their art, and it's hanging up. Big thanks to Jim Fowler and Crystal Cudworth and Susan McDonough, who hung the show for us. We really appreciate that. But so a lot of great kids' art. There's one I especially like. I wanted to show you. This 7-year-old girl drew this picture of, she called it the Bliss Worm.
The Bliss Worm?
Isn't it so cute?
Oh my goodness. That's the cutest worm I've ever seen.
I put it on our Facebook page.
It's like lying in between two, like on a path maybe, in between two sections of lawn. There's a butterfly flying overhead maybe, or maybe it's a flower. But it's just a little blue worm with a big smile
so
on its
happy.
Face. It's so happy. He's chubby.
I just love
it
that.
It looks like he's hugging himself almost. He's just so happy.
And yeah, it's just a 7-year-old girl thinking of a bliss worm.
Maybe just kind of a caterpillar, but maybe a bliss worm. I like it, though. It's definitely blissful.
Yeah, so come check that out.
That's great. It is amazing how at incredibly young ages, sometimes work from young artists is so wonderful because it's just free of any pretension about anything other than just what directly comes out of them, you know?
That's right.
Nothing, they don't have to unlearn anything.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
My daughter has a piece too. I'll just brag on her. She's got a wonderful vase. She's been really doing some great ceramics.
That's awesome.
A lot of great kids have their art. And we just thought it'd be a great time to do this release party. So at the same time, we're doing a coloring book release party with Claire and Lily Hope, who collaborated on this little coloring book, and it came from this chocolate ice cream naming contest.
Okay.
So we launched this a few months ago at the start of the summer that we wanted to rename our chocolate ice cream because we changed the type of chocolate we use.
So you wanted transparency. Total transparency. You wanted to let people know this is not the same chocolate ice cream as
well,
it always
we were
has
calling
been.
It Belgian chocolate, but I was using this Belgian chocolate that was like not child labor free, so we changed to this American chocolate called guitar chocolate, which is hard for people to say. And they're like, what does that mean? So we changed it. And in this process, Lily came up with this just beautiful story. And it's just really sweet. And so I thought, man, this would make a great coloring book. And Claire thought so too and did a wonderful job illustrating.
So Claire, welcome to the show, number one.
Thank you.
So tell me about how, when you got involved in the process, had the idea had already been formed? Tell me about like what you knew about this when you started thinking about what you were going to do with this.
So I believe that the story was already put into motion when I came in. So once I got the email with the story, I read it over. It sounded cute, sounded like a good idea for a coloring book. And we met at COPA, me and
Lily. It's a good
place
to meet.
Yeah, me and Lily and Mark. And we discussed what we wanted it to look like, how many pages it should be. Just the logistics of the whole thing.
So did you end up being part of interpreting the story as well? Or did you just kind of take what Lily had kind of written and you just straight illustrated that? How did you kind of approach that?
Well, it is mostly an interpretation of the story.
Okay.
Mostly my job was coming up with how those words would turn into pictures and what the characters look like, the Duke and Duchess of Joy.
give me a little bit of a synopsis of the story itself.
So the Duke and Duchess of Joy.
We could read it.
Oh.
Should we read it?
We could read it.
But, you know, before you talk about that, I thought it was so cool, like Claire, because Claire is a comic book artist.
Okay.
And she has a certain style.
Yeah.
But she blew me away. She's like, oh, which style would you like? And she had, I don't know, six or eight different styles of comic book people. And I was like, wow, that is so. And then so we got to choose. Right. So how did you come up with that?
Oh, well, I believe that every piece should have a different style based on what the story is trying to convey. I wouldn't use like a creepy style for this comic book because that just would be out of place.
Although it's kind of like an Edward Gorey kind of a treatment. I like that. It's kind of a good thing. Okay, so this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's The Joy of Copa is the name of this. And should we divide up the story here? Should one of us read one thing and one of us read another?
I'll read it. Yeah, I was hoping Lily would be here to read it, but she got stuck with a fairy strike.
Okay.
In the Yukon, so she's up there.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's pretty quick.
Okay.
The story goes that the Duchess and Duke of Joy came to Copa disguised in civilian clothes, intending to taste a little homemade Alaskan scupa before it hid in the glacier salt caves. The Duke chose deep chocolate, and the Duchess chose the infamous rhubarb sorbet. The Duchess of Joy requested to keep the tiny sampling spoon to daintily nibble her sorbet. While settling onto the outdoor seating, she tripped on her uncommon-to-her shoelaces. Her sorbet flew into the fresh rhubarb patch and landed upside down on a large leaf. The Duke insisted she have his deep chocolate, and he'd eat the twice rhubarb sorbet. She admired his chivalry and accepted his ice cream, but asked for another sampling spoon. The Duchess, so delighted by the rich and creamy chocolatey brilliance of Copa's deep chocolate, called for the entire remaining batch of deep chocolate to be freeze-packed and shipped home with her and the Duke of Joy. Due to barge shipping out of Alaska, it took over 3 weeks for her deep chocolate to arrive at her castle, during which time her taste buds screamed for that deep chocolate ice cream. Her royal court brought her all the chocolate ice creams in nearby lands, but none compared to deep chocolate. Finally, after 23 days, her Alaskan-made deep chocolate arrived, and all was well with the Duchess of Joy.
Very cool.
You want to describe these characters, like, well, what they look like?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would ask you, Claire, when you heard these words, what sort of qualities did you try to bring and convey to the characters? All right. Oh, and this is the best part, of course. We're getting to have now ice cream, the new ice cream. Which is still called Guttard?
No, we're calling it deep chocolate.
Deep chocolate. All right.
Well, when we were all discussing what the character should look like, we came up with a few things. I drew out a few things. Definitely we wanted the two to look very different from each other. Like, she has more curly hair, and he has, like, ice cream swirl hair.
Yeah, he's a soft serve there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
And we just wanted to make something that kids would really have fun coloring. So a lot of components to the coloring book, like their character design, just stuff that kids would have a lot of fun coloring.
You have to, when you're doing this as a coloring book, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you want to leave a lot of space to color in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
yeah.
a big part of this. You mm-hmm. kind of realize that when you look at coloring books. Oh, yeah, these are kind of big-shaped figures and big-shaped, you know, big pieces of the ice cream, and lots of the rhubarb leaves are big and lots of places for people to color in. Are there ideas that you had about wanting to give a certain idea about what colors someone might use on different things, or do you think about that, or is that something you just feel like that's just completely wide open?
I believe it's completely wide open. Sure that you could read the story and color the ice cream brown and the rhubarb ice cream pink, but it's really up to the kids to get wild with their imagination and color whatever they want. That was my idea when I used to color in coloring books.
Yeah. How did you come to the artist the life of being an artist now? How did you kind of come by that as something that you've pursued? Has it just been hobby? Is it something you've studied very much? Or tell me about your background a little bit on becoming an artist.
Well, I've been coloring since I was young. In third grade, I broke my arm, and one of my gifts was a comic book, and that's when I wanted to do comics. So since third grade, I've been pursuing that ever since.
And I personally have perused, can't say I've read, but I've perused Meow Cats. So I've seen that at Alaska Robotics,
mm-hmm.
and I've kind of marveled that this was something that's kind of a lifelong work in a way, right? You've been kind of working on that book for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started when I was in seventh grade, ended it in the middle of ninth grade, and it was a big project, and I love it.
Yeah. Did you see, I remember seeing a bit of an evolution in your artistic style during the making of that book itself.
Yeah, definitely. 12 to 14 is a big time to get good at art.
Yeah, right. What was your process for doing this? Is this something that was computer assisted? Is this something that was all hand done? Or how did you go about making all the elements to this coloring book?
Well, it is hand done, but it's through the computer. I use this tablet that translates my movements into pixels, and that's what you see in your hands right there. So it's completely done by me. It's just that the computer is understanding what I'm doing.
Yeah, right. So it's just kind of able to interpret those strokes. Mm-hmm. You have like a pad that you're working off of, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, really what cool you, project,
what you,
Mark.
Like, what do you think of the characters when you see them? Like, we wanted like not to be identifiable racially.
Yeah, like, I think that's true. Sure,
they could be any.
Yeah.
Like any kid could see themselves, in these people.
I like that idea, too, and I think that's true. That's true. I do believe that there's a universality to the way the characters look. And I love the little hints to ice cream on every single page. I think that's really fun. The waffle cone pants on the last page that the Duke is wearing and all the different kind of ice cream references are really fun. Yeah, definitely.
So we'll eat some of the ice cream. Andy.
Okay, and now then, I'm going to have a little of this. So this is now, we're calling it deep chocolate?
Deep chocolate. And so Cindy Smith was the winner of our contest.
All right, I know Cindy.
And Cindy decided, so the winning prize was a pint of chocolate ice cream every month for a year.
Oh, sure, so good. Your ice cream's so creamy.
Yeah, that is...
What is going on?
Well, that ice cream...
It's just like a whipped... It's almost like a mousse.
Well, typically, a chocolate ice cream is made with cocoa powder.
Uh-huh.
And we use cocoa powder. We also use melted chocolate. Mm. So it's a little extra rich.
You are for
rich. Thus the deep. But so Cindy, she decided she didn't want to claim the prize. She wanted to give that ice cream to the Glory Hall and a wear. So we're going to give the same value, but in a wholesale amount.
Oh, that's awesome.
To those shelters, so they'll be able to share the ice cream with their patrons, and I thought that was really dear.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's really, really cool. Well, what's your next project working on now? What are you excited about that you're kind of that's in the works or that's close to release, or what are you up to nowadays?
Well, my next project is my upcoming graphic novel, my second one. It's a multimedia project. It's combining a book with a comic book. And it's the same story done twice, one in literature form and one in comic form. And you get to compare the two and see which one you like better, see how my brain worked in making that story into a comic. You basically can get to do whatever you want with that book.
Well, that's fascinating. So you're saying that you essentially wrote a novel, and then you wrote a graphic novel. That's the same book. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's one thing you don't – it's an interesting thing when you're – it's the same thing that happens when you're reading a novel or when you're reading a graphic novel. The narrative and the way that you're taking in the information becomes subconscious. You know, so you don't see all the he saids. And you don't see all the different ways that grammatically things are presented. And I think the same thing happens in graphic novels. So in other words, I guess what's sort of making me really interested in reading this is that a graphic novel is broken down to maybe there's some narrative bubbles, but mostly it's dialogue. And then the action is all represented in the actual art that's happening in the panel.
Yeah.
Whereas in a novel, you have to describe all of that in words. Mm-hmm. And that's just a utterly fascinating project. That's really cool. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah,
that's going to be really cool.
You can see that some parts are different than what I wrote. So it's a pure adaptation.
Yeah, very cool.
What's it called?
Oh, it's called A Most Peculiar Alarm Clock.
Okay, very cool.
And when are you going to think you're going to have it out?
Definitely this year or earlier next year.
Very cool. And I'm just noticing on the back of the comic book here, if people want to check out your work, they can go to DeviantArt. It's JC Cat Studios, And that's your same handle on Instagram as well. And then JC Cat Studios at wixsite.com/Claire Scott is another place where you can see more of your work.
Correct.
I'm really inspired to go check out more of your stuff. I hope to see that graphic novel slash literary novel coming out soon. Mm-hmm. What do you have a target date for that?
Not really. It really depends on how much I get with the self-publisher and just developing that into a finished piece.
Very cool. Well, Mark, thanks for coming in, telling us all about this.
Let's have a shout-out to Lily Hope.
Okay, yeah.
Author of the story, she would be here, but she got stuck with the fairy strike.
She got stuck, much like the chocolate ice cream in the tail.
That's right.
Yes.
Wow.
23 days. Let's hope it's not 23 days for Lily to get back into town.
Yeah. And so, yeah, people, we're going to give these out at the store to kids, and they'll be able to color and eat some ice cream.
That's awesome. Thanks, you guys, for coming
in. Thanks
for having us. I appreciate
it.
All right.
Thank you.